Good afternoon. Praise God, we are back. Thank you for your prayers. Let me update you what happened to us in our last Holy Land tour. We arrived early this week. We have around 170 plus that went to the Holy Land Bible Study Tour. And out of 170 plus, we have, look at your picture, we have over 120 who got baptized, and over 50% of those were baptized for the first time. To God be the glory. My advice, save money. Don't go to America. Don't go to Europe. First, go to Holy Land. Because your faith will be grounded. I guarantee you. So, prepare for next year. This year, it's finished. Next year again, you pray. And our topic for the next 7 weeks, at least. Everybody, let's read this together. Focus on the family. Why do we want to focus on the family? Everybody, let's read this together. The family is the place where principles, where faith, where walking with Christ in the real world is hammered and honed in the anvil of everyday living. I don't know how to overemphasize this. I was surprised when I was reading the survey of George Barna. This guy loves research. And according to him, the greatest influence in the spiritual life of young people, children, adults, is what? Can you guess? Number one, mother. Number two, father. Surprisingly, it's not even the church. Surprisingly, it is not even the school. What's the principle? The principle is this. Fathers, mothers, you are responsible to raise up godly children. For the next 7 weeks, I want to discuss with you the importance of focusing on the family. Hopefully, I can help you grow in this area. What's happening to families today? Why should you focus on family? I was surprised at the Philippine research done by McCann Erickson, and this is many years ago. As of that year, 40% of youth, casual sex is okay. Premarital sex, 50% will say it's okay. Abortion, 55% says it's okay. Prostitution, 55% says it's okay. Drunkenness, 60% says it's okay. Homosexuality, 60% says it's okay. Now, my latest figure when it comes to family, I discovered in the Philippines, 50% of young people live with parents. But the other 50%, they don't live with parents. What's happening? You have women working, you have separation, you have annulment. So a lot of children don't grow up with two sets of parents. And based on statistics, and this may surprise you, children growing up without father are more prone to commit suicide, more prone to leave home. For women, two times more to have sexual immorality, three times more to be pregnant without getting married. My whole point is families are important. Why? There was a study made by John Unwin. He is an anthropologist. He studied 87 civilizations, spanning over 4,000 years. His conclusion, as goes the family, so goes the nation. If the family begins to deteriorate, civilization begins to deteriorate. Vice versa. They go together. Another author by the name of Edward Gibbons, he wrote the book Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. In his studies, the Roman Empire fell when family begins to disintegrate. Divorce is rampant. Morality is lax. They go together. Another author, Carl Zimmerman, sociologist, he wrote a book, Family and Civilization. He concluded the decline in culture is parallel to the decline in family. What's my point? You got to focus on the family. It is important. The future of this country is dependent on young people today. And young people is dependent on families. Family is important. The Bible has a lot to say about family. For example, if you don't mind, let's all stand up. These are our texts for today. Let's read this together. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1 and 2. Everybody. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, so that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it. So that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all of his statutes and his judgments, which I am commanding you today, all the days of your life, so that you may enjoy long life. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, so that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Let's remain standing as we pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you for today's worship. I thank you for the freedom to come together. I thank you for the privilege of singing. And I thank you for this country that we have freedom. And now with one heart, I pray for President Noynoy Aquino and his cabinet members. Continue to strengthen him. And Lord, it is our prayer that your Holy Spirit will move supernaturally. Help us get rid of gruff and corrupt people. Help us. And help Noynoy and help this country pursue righteousness. Will you intervene? Help your people. Help the people to get out of poverty. Let investors, let business people have faith that this country is changing. But Lord, how you do it, we entrust it to you. And once again, I also thank you for the military, for the cabinet members, for the judiciary, for the senators, congressmen. We pray for them, that you be the one to move in their hearts, that they learn to really love this country. And now I pray for your people, that we learn to really love you and love one another. And Lord, I also pray for our building project. I thank you for the worship training center. I thank you for the money that has been coming in. I pray you continue to touch the hearts of the people so that the provisions will always be on time. I pray for the architect. I pray for the interior designers. I pray for the contractor, that everything will be done in accordance to your perfect design and perfect will. And now I pray for everybody here, those who are hurting, those who are struggling, that you will use this message to inspire us. Help me what to say, what not to say also. I pray for all the CCF outreaches. I pray for all the evangelical churches, all Bible preaching churches, that you bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Sit down. Let's look at these verses together. Everybody, family is important because God tells us what to do and how to do it. Look at verse 1. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments. What is the context of this verse? Deuteronomy chapter 5 deals with the 10 commandments. After the 10 commandments, after discussing this, God now tells them. I'm telling you this for what purpose? Everybody, look at verse 1 and 2. So that, everybody, so that you might, what? You might know, you might do. Continue reading. So that, verse 2, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord to keep all of his statutes. In other words, also to obey. So that, continue reading, so that you may enjoy long life. This is where most people don't ever understand the heart of God. God gives us His principles. He gives us families. And He tells you how in order for us to enjoy what? Long life. Most people have these crazy ideas about the commandments of God. We think the commandments of God are given to restrict us. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. Because if you look at the Ten Commandments, it tells you what you can do, what you cannot do. So the idea is, God is a cosmic KJ. He does not want me to be happy. He wants me to be miserable. On the contrary, God is telling us, I'm telling you this so that you may what? Enjoy what? Long life. God wants you to really live life to the fullest. But we don't understand this. When my kid was growing up, I remember one of my sons. I told him, thou shalt not touch electric socket. Thou shalt not put your finger on electric outlets. Understand? What did my son do? My son was probably thinking, my father does not really love me. He wants to restrict me. He does not want me to experience the joy of touching electric socket. He is a cosmic KJ. Therefore, I will try to disobey my father. That's exactly what he did. My son is a genius. At a young age, he can remove the light bulb. And he was thinking, let's see what happened. Now, do you think my son will ever do that again? He learned. It's good he did not die. Some of you are now learning lessons the hard way. You experience pain by not obeying the Lord. But some of us are so stubborn, you'll keep on doing it. The Bible tells us your attitude is crucial. Family life is important. What's the topic today? Focus on the family. Parents, if your children do not have a desire to know God, do not have a desire to follow God, whose responsibility is it? Not the school. Not the society. The Bible says, parents. You and your son and your grandson. And that's where most of us are failing. Big time. Because no one has ever taught us or taught you the importance of family. And you do not know how. How many of you have been to universities? Raise your hands. Okay. Praise God. You know, we made surveys. CCF is a very well-educated bunch of people, okay? We have lots of college graduates, master's degree, PhDs, doctorate degrees, okay? Have you ever been to a class in university where it says parenting 101? Yes or no? No. Have you been to any class? Husband, 101. How to be a wife, 101. How to be a children, how to be a child, 101. None. Why? See, the world does not really know principles of parenting. If you have a Mercedes-Benz and something goes wrong with your Mercedes-Benz, what manual will you consult? Toyota? Benz. If you have a Toyota and something's wrong with your Toyota car, what manual will you consult? Nissan? What? Toyota. If something's wrong with your life, with your marriage, with your family, it's not working, what do you consult? That's the problem. You don't go to the manufacturer's manual. And that's why I want you guys to go back to the Bible. The Bible tells us how to be fathers, mothers, how to be a family member. This is crucial. This is important. Let's look at other passages in the Bible to show you the importance of family. Look at Psalm 78. Everybody, let's read this. That they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. In other words, God's plan for the family is a spiritual heritage whereby you will really enjoy life by following the Lord. He gives us principles. The problem with most of us, we measure our success differently. Before I show you the Bible, let me test you. How do you measure if you are a successful father, a successful husband, a successful mother, a successful wife? How do you measure? Can you whisper to your neighbor? Ask your neighbor. Just, what are some gauges? Come on, whisper to each other. How do you know you're a successful father? Can I tell you? For most Chinese family, for most Filipino families, this is their mindset. If I provide food, clothing, shelter, I give my child a good education, He can read, he can write, send him to the best school if I educate him. As long as he don't get involved in drugs, as long as he does not have unwanted pregnancy, I think I'm doing a good job. Yes or no? That's what you think. Now, you may be surprised when I show you from the Bible. The standards is different. The standard the Bible tells us has to do with your kid's life, the heart of your children, loving the Lord. If your kids do not love the Lord, whatever you are doing, eventually they will walk away from their faith. What was shocking in the statistics is this: 90% of youth who are active in Sunday school, who are active in their church, when they leave home and they go to college, in less than 24 months, 90% will stop going to church. Why is that so? You come next 7 weeks. What are we going to discuss next 7 weeks? Focus on family. By the way, do you know it is your responsibility to teach your children? Yes or no? Are you sure? Why do you send it to school? Why do you send them to school? Why do you send them to Sunday school? They can be a help, but they don't take your place. Let's look at this verse. All fathers, please read. Fathers, let's read this. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but what? Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Whose responsibility is it to teach children? Louder. Mother. Where is mother? Mother is implied. If you look at Ephesians 6 verse 1, the Bible says, children, obey your parents. However, in the Bible, the primary responsible person is who? The father. We do the opposite. We let our wife take care of training the children. In our mind, the father just make money, provide shelter for the kids. Nothing is farther from the truth. Father, you are the primary responsible person. The wife is going to help you. The school may help you. It may not. Let me ask you a question. All the foolish things you have learned as a youth, where did you learn that? In school or at home? Louder.
School.
Really? You mean you learned bad things in school? You are just like me? You see, my father never sat me down and said, son, I'm now going to teach you how to enjoy pornography. Never. My father never sat me down. I will now teach you how to lie and how to cheat. Never. Who taught me all of those foolish things? My classmates. And you are doing exactly the same. You now send your children to school. And you are thinking they're going to learn. Listen to me. I home educated our kids. We taught them at home. After a certain age, we released them. When we release them to the school system, my kids have learned discernment. Their antenna have been trained to discern what is biblical, what is not biblical. Many young people today are not trained. They believe anything they hear in school, from their teachers. No wonder the world is messed up. There are no standards. And you are thinking you are doing a good job by sending them to the best school. May I suggest you think twice. Listen humbly to what I'm going to teach you in the next few weeks. Amen?
Amen?
I'm not saying I'm a perfect father, I'm a perfect mother. But one thing I can tell you, by the grace of God, I have 5 wonderful children, 9 grandchildren, but hallelujah, they are all walking with the Lord. They are all serving the Lord. Not just me. We have many other leaders who have followed the biblical principles. And you look at their kids, they all walk with the Lord. What I'm trying to teach you is this. Not only is it biblical, it is proven in our lives, in the life of people. So I'm not giving you theory. You see, many people love theories. You listen to people who don't have kids. You listen to people who will teach you things, but look at their kids. If their kids are messed up, why do you listen to them? We listen to media. We listen to famous actors, actresses. We listen to the newspaper. But I suggest, look at their family. Look at the product. Is that what you want to become? So I suggest, let's humble ourselves. Go to the Bible. Because God wants to bless your family. You know why? He wants you to be a blessing. I need 3 volunteers. So I'm asking Dr. Glenn and company to come up. Now, as they are coming up, Bert, Pastor Bert, look at Judges 2:7. Everybody, let's read this together. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of the Lord which he had done for Israel. You have the following generations. All right? Don't look at them now. Just look at the Bible verse, okay? Okay. All right. Imagine, according to Judges 2:7. Sino pinakamatanda dito? Ito. Okay, good. All right. This is Pastor Bert. He's in charge of the various ministries of CCF. You need counseling, you talk to Pastor Bert. This is Pastor Glenn. He's a doctor, understand? But he's also a pastor. And this is the son. Now, let us imagine now they are living in the days of Joshua. Okay? So, I want you to imagine now. Imagine now, okay? I am Joshua, okay? So, let's look at that verse together now. Judges 2:7. Everybody read. The people served the Lord all the days of what? So, Joshua. So, this is all the days of Joshua. Okay, this is Joshua. Okay, Joshua. And then the next verse, all the days of the elders who survived Joshua. Understand? So, you now imagine, okay? These people serve the Lord. You know why they serve the Lord? They have first-hand encounter with the Lord. Joshua saw God parted the Red Sea with his own eyes. Joshua walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. Supernatural event. Joshua saw it. Joshua saw the Jordan River parted. Joshua saw water coming out from the rock. Joshua experienced 40 years of faithful manna. Manna in the morning, manna at noon, manna at night. Joshua saw how God provided for them. Now, so Joshua served the Lord because he has personal encounter with God. The elders heard the story from Joshua. They heard what God did. Because when the elders go home, when they go home, they talk about God's faithfulness. Even though they did not see with their eyes, but they heard it. It was intimate. There's a problem. The problem is the next generation. Let's read that together, everybody. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. What is the problem with this generation? According to the Bible, they did not know the Lord. Now, they had religion. The Jewish people are religious. They had prayer meetings. They have worship services. But the heart is not touched. How do you know they do not know the Lord? Very easy. The Bible says, by their fruit ye shall know them. So read the next verse. Verse 11. Show the verse 11. Everybody, let's read that. Then the sons of Israel did what? Evil. Notice, they did evil. What's the reason? They did not know the Lord. You see, your life reflects your theology. Comprende? Not the other way around. It begins with your faith. No faith at home? No personal faith? Result, a lifestyle of sin. Read the next verse, verse 12. What happened? They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods from among the gods of the peoples. What are the gods of the people today in the 21st century? Tell me. The gods of what? Materialism. The gods of what? Sex. The gods of what? Power. Yes or no? Many other gods. But above all, the worst god is the god of self-fulfillment. People are self-centered today. They worship themselves without saying it. I will do what I want to do. I'm the most important person. I don't care about other people. I don't care about God. God is an attachment. And that, my friend, is the problem today. Some of you are thinking your children know the Lord because they come here. Some of you are even thinking you are a believer. Very simple. Do you know the Lord? If you know the Lord, you love the Lord. So, Joshua, the elders' problem. But this is only illustration. In reality, this guy is Joshua, this guy is Joshua, and you are Joshua. Did you come back from Nepal? Not yet. Okay, okay, good. Thank you. Let's give them a clap of appreciation. What's the topic today? Focus on the family. Will you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, focus on the family. Why? Let me tell you why. There are consequences. You got to focus on the family. I've been to many hospitals. I've visited many people dying. My latest one, personally, I experienced, the guy was dying of cancer. And he said, Peter, thank you for visiting me. He said, I have one request. Now, I hear this often. Why do I say family is important? Because his last request was to tell me to help take care of his family. The guy was financially very okay. He's not referring to money. But he said, please, take care of my family. It just dawned upon me that the most important thing in your life, really, you only know it when you're about to die. When the doctor thought I had cancer a few years ago, you know, only two things entered my mind. Number one, my God, my Savior, my relationship with Him. The second is my family. And I realize the same thing with you. I know you love your family. Yes or no? You care for them. But sometimes, what you believe and what you do don't match. You have inconsistency. And that's why, for the next so many weeks, I want to tell you to focus on the family. Because I know you love your family. And your family is the most important thing. Honestly, it won't be your money. It won't be your degree. It won't be what the newspapers say about you. Honestly, you won't even care who won Manny Pacquiao or somebody else when you're about to die. Those are not important. What's important is your family and your relationship with God. You know why you got to focus on your family? I will tell you why. Let's read this together, everybody. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Most of us are not even aware that there is a battle ongoing right now for the heart and mind of your children, waged by the devil himself. He wants to grab a hold of our kids' lives and the way you think. And my friend, the Bible is very clear. You have an enemy. Who's your enemy? Verse 11 and 12. Who's your enemy? Not the person beside you. Maybe you fought with your person beside you, with your husband, with your wife. But that's not your enemy. Your enemy, the Bible says, is not flesh and blood. In fact, the Bible says you got to put on the full armor of God. Look at that last sentence, that you're able to stand firm against the scheme. The word scheme is from the word what? Schema, strategy. The devil has lots of strategy. He will make you so busy and you begin to neglect your own family. That's what's happening today. Do you realize in America today, every year, people who claim to be Christians are becoming less and less as a percentage of population? Why is that happening? Used to be the number one nation when it comes to Christianity. You know why? The devil is being successful. Because parents neglect their responsibility in the pursuit of the good life. Without realizing the final good life is your children loving the Lord, serving the Lord. Let me give you an illustration. Everybody, let's read this together now. This is very important from the Bible. Why parenting is not automatic. Let's read this together. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord. So what is the job occupation of Eli? Eli was a priest. What about his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas? What was their job? Louder. Priest. By the way, don't name your children Hophni or Phinehas, okay? No, I'm just kidding. But are they good people? In theory, If you are a priest, are you a good person? Yes. Do you know the Bible? Yes. These people come to worship every day. Imagine now, this is the temple of God. They come every day. They memorize the Bible. Understand? They Bible study almost every day. These people were priests. Comprende? Now, what kind of people are they? Their occupation? Priests. Their father? Priests. Very religious. Then look at 1 Samuel 2:12. Everybody read. The sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. How can you be a priest and not know the Lord? I have concluded it is possible that your children can be here, singing, worshiping, going through the rituals, and not know the Lord. I'm even convinced with a church our size, there will be some adult here. You go through the whole motion. You sing. You come. In your heart, you don't know the Lord. You see, many parents focus on the external. But you don't know the heart of your children. Can I tell you why you got to focus on the family? Because good parenting is not automatic. Let me share with you this family. Before I share you what's wrong with this family, how can you tell if somebody knows the Lord or not? Because according to this verse, let's read this one more time. The sons of Eli were what? Why? They did not know the Lord. Now, how do you know if your children know the Lord? Is that a good question to ask? How do you know if you know the Lord? Is that a fair question to us? All right. Answer. Whisper to each other. Give one answer. Whisper. Don't look at me. Look at your neighbor. Talk to its neighbor. How do you know? By looking at me, you will not know the answer. You whisper. How do you know your children or your loved ones know the Lord? All right. Are you thinking? Can I help you? Can I show you from the Bible? All right, I'll show you from the Bible. How do you know? How do you know if somebody is a real Christian versus somebody who is not? You see, for most people, they think, well, if this guy is baptized, if this guy reads the Bible, I do not know. Let's find out. Let's find out from Jesus. According to Jesus, let's read this together now. Everybody, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Meaning, grapes are gathered from grapevines. Figs are gathered from fig trees. You will know them by their fruits. How do you know this is a banana tree? You get banana. How do you know this is a mango tree and not an apple tree? You get mangoes. How do you know you're a Christian? Let's find out. Ang kulit-kulit ni Jesus. Let's read this together. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. The Bible is very clear. If Jesus is your Lord, if Jesus is your Savior, the evidence is obedience. If there's no obedience from the heart, you got a problem. Now, was Eli and his children obedient? Let's find out. How come the Bible says they don't know the Lord? Here is the lifestyle of the priest. Let's read this together. Eli was very old. Heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel. And they slept with the women who served at the entrance of the tent of meeting. In other words, the priests were committing adultery, sexual fornication with people who are going there to worship. So, the moral life reflects what's going on. Read the next verse. So he said to them, why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, it is not a good report that I hear spreading among the Lord's people. What's the problem with Eli? Look at verse 22. Eli, who was very old, when he was old, that's the only time he knew what was going on with their kids. Many times, fathers are totally ignorant of what's going on with your children. You know why? Because you are not focused on the family. You are focused in making money. Perhaps Eli was focused in office work. He was focused in church work. Maybe he was so busy outside. He neglected his own children. He does not know what's going on. Now, let me ask you honestly. Do you know what's going on in the lives of your children? Do you know? Or are you the last to know if your children will do something bad? Because the principal will call you. Oh, ganyan ba yan? My friends, do you understand what is the message of God to us? Focus on what? The family. Don't get so busy in the ministry, in the business, like Eli, that you don't even know what's going on with your family. The Bible says when Eli was old, very old. Can I tell you something? The problem with not starting young with your children? I love this quotation. It is easier to build boys than to repair men. Build boys. Very hard to repair men. And many of you are now repairing men. It's harder. The Bible tells us, Eli, when he was old, heard. Notice verse 24. No, my son. No, my sons. It is not a good report. Nagchismis na. Kumalat ng chismis. He was the last to know. Spreading among the Lord's people. Very sad. Are you so busy? How do you focus on the family? Be intentional. Get to know your children. Speak to them. Find out what's going on. But don't be passive. Focus on the family. You know why? Let's read this together. What was Eli doing? What was the priest doing? The sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. And the custom of the priest with the people, when any man was offering a sacrifice, the priest servant would come while the meat was boiling with a three-pronged fork in his hand. And before they burned the fat, the priest servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give the priest meat for roasting. He will not take boiled meat from you, only raw." If the man said to him, "They must surely burn the fat at first, then take as much as you desire," he would say, no, you shall give it to me now. If not, I will take it by force." Thus, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men despised the offering of the Lord. Now, some of you have no idea what is the Bible talking about. Let me explain now. In the Old Testament, when you offer animal sacrifice, God tells you, you offer it to the Lord. But all the fats must be burned before you give that to the priest. Because all the fats are not to be given to people. They're not to be given to the priest. That's how you worship God. Understand? Let me share with you another verse so you will understand the heart of God. These priests, you know why they like the fats? Before it is burned, they want to get the fats. Just like you, they love adobo. Now, what's the best part when you eat adobo? Anong pinakamasarap sa adobo? In Chinese, san san ma. You know, the three layers of the adobo. You have the skin, you have the fat, and you have the meat. Now, which one do you like to eat the most? I tell you, for most people, we love to eat the fat and the meat and the skin together. Am I correct? This is what the priests were doing. Before they are burned, the priest will say, "Akin na yan, akin na yan." And then the man will say, no, let the fat be burned first. The priest said, no, we want to get it now. Well, let's look at what the Bible tells us. In Leviticus chapter 3, how are you to offer sacrifices to God? The priest shall offer them up in smoke on the altar as food, as offering by fire for a soothing aroma. Everybody read, "All fat is the Lord's. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwellings. You shall not eat any what? Fat." Ladies and gentlemen, God is a doctor. He knows fat is bad for you. He knows that fat will cause cholesterol to go up. It will cause high blood pressure. It will cause you stroke. So the veins and the arthritis should be rid of what?
facts. You see, God is amazing. When He tells you something, at that time they don't understand. Medically, it has been proven. Fat is bad for you. Now, New Testament, if you want to eat fat, that's your problem. I suggest, don't eat fat. Why? It's bad for you. But if you want to eat fat, it's up to you. All I'm saying is, in the Old Testament, God tells them, don't even eat the intestines, don't eat the livers. Okay, the same chapter in Leviticus tells you how to offer. All of those things that's not good for you, God is saying, you burn it with fire as a sacrifice to me. I see the heart of God. You know, God wants to protect us. He says, you know what, this is not good for you, so just give it to me. It was Eli, takaw-takaw, and his kids, they're so greedy, they don't worship God properly. They don't honor God. What's my proof? Let's read the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 2. God sent a messenger to Eli. And this is the message of God to Eli. Everybody, why do you kick at my sacrifice, at my offering, which I commanded in my dwelling, and honor your sons above me by making yourselves fat with the choices of everything? When the Bible uses the word choices of everything, it refers to the fats of the sacrifices. Eli loved to eat fats. So the children, like father, like what? Son. Fathers, listen to me. Your children are watching you. You cannot tell them one thing and you do something else. You cannot teach the Bible one way and you don't live your life in accordance with the Bible, because your children will copy you. That's exactly what's happening to Eli. Continue reading. But now the Lord declares, far, everybody read, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming when I will break your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. In that day, I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him, I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought the curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. Ladies and gentlemen, what was the problem with Eli? He knew what was wrong, but he did not do anything. If I were Eli, I would have suspended my sons from becoming priests. You are suspended until you repent, change. What did he do? Just talk about it. You see, God holds father responsible. As a result, the house of Eli was judged. Do you know the promise of priesthood was given to the family of Eli? It is an amazing heritage. But God says, because of what you did, you have to assume responsibility. That's going to be taken away from you. You know what the Bible tells us? What happened to his kids? This is what happened to his children. Let's read this together. After many years, there was a war. The one who brought the news answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines. You see, Israel was defeated. What else? Your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead also. And the ark of the Lord has been taken. You see, the ark of the covenant symbolized God's power. But it was powerless against the Philistines. You know why it was powerless? Because the priests, those who were holding the ark of the covenant, were not God's people. Don't be superstitious. They were superstitious. If the ark of the covenant will fight for us, we will surely win. Yes, the ark of the covenant represents God. But God is not going to be deceived by rituals. They were defeated. They died. Look at the next verse. Eli fell off the ship after listening. His neck was broken and he died. You know why? He was old and fat. Too much fat. Kawawa. They all died. You see, family is important because it has consequences. Remember what I told you. Choices have what? Consequences. Did I tell you a while ago the meaning of you are free to choose? You are not free to escape the consequences? Did I explain that to you? Yes or no? Before, but today, did I explain that to you? No. When God gives you principles on how to have a happy home, how to enjoy life, you have two choices, to follow God or not to follow Him. You all heard about the story of my son. Don't touch the socket. You had a choice. God now tells you how to behave, morally, spiritually, how to marry, whom to marry. He tells us in the Bible. You have a choice. But remember, the laws of God are just like physical laws. When I say physical laws, for example, the law of gravity, the law of aerodynamics, the law of what? Buoyancy. These are scientific laws. Whether you understand this, you don't understand it, it doesn't matter. It's operational. For example, the law of aerodynamics. If you fly the airplane, if you lose airspeed, I don't care what kind of a pilot you are. If you lose a certain amount of speed, guaranteed, you are going to fall. You know why? It's called the law of what? Aerodynamics. You can say, I don't believe in the law of aerodynamics. We are now traveling at 120 miles per hour, you know, single plane engine. I will not bring it down to around 60. It's up to you. But the moment you slow down to 60, I guarantee what's going to happen? The plane will go down. Because you have the law of gravity and you have the law of aerodynamics. To overcome the law of gravity, you must apply the law of aerodynamics. These are universal laws. You understand. You say, yeah, I know. The same thing with your life. You don't follow God, it's a choice. But there are consequences. And the consequences are not immediate. It's like the airplane. Remember that famous son of John Kennedy? He took an airplane. He was flying to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts. He did not follow physical laws. He did not follow the GPS. He did not follow the instrument. Because those are scientifically proven. You need to follow the instruments when you're flying. But what did he do? He depended on his feelings. I don't feel like doing it this way. I don't feel like flying this way. I want to trust my feeling. Today, majority of young people follow their feelings. They don't make decisions based on what the Bible says. Because they have never been trained by their parents. In the process, they get hurt. Unwanted pregnancy, marital life affected, and the pain is unnecessary. But some people will not learn. Because nobody ever bothered to teach them that God is for you. The same thing with Eli. The children did not obey the father. The Bible says children obey your parents. When the father told them don't do it, both of them are guilty. Okay? The father did not take enough action and the children did not listen to the father. So what happened? Let's read this together, everybody. Children, may I ask all children to stand up? All children, if you are living with your parents, you are single, stand up, please. All teenagers, all singles who are living with their parents, you are not yet married, stand up. Praise God. This is a young church. Okay? Like me. Huh? All right. All those singles living with their parents, with their families, let's read this together now. Okay? Young people, are you listening to me? You have a responsibility. Focus on the family. What's your job? Let's read this together. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. I tell you this promise, I tell you this principle, but I cannot make you do it. The choice is yours. I always teach people what the Bible tells us. But the church cannot assume that responsibility for you. You got to make those what? Choices. You are free to choose. But you are not free to escape the consequences. The consequences are not always immediate. It can come 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years later. But I guarantee you, just as there are physical laws that govern the physical universe, there are what? Spiritual laws that govern your life. That is something certain. So what happened? I will tell you what happened. Many, many years later. Let's read this together. Everybody now. So Solomon. Okay, please sit down. Let's read this together now. Solomon
remove Abiathar from the priesthood of the Lord, fulfilling the word of the Lord had spoken at Shiloh about the house of Eli. Friends, when you do something wrong and nothing happens, do not deceive yourself into thinking, okay lang. I suggest you humble yourself. You come before God and say, Lord, this is wrong. I want to change. Humble yourself. Now, some of you have neglected your family. It's not too late. I suggest focus on the family. Now, before I continue on, I want to share with you, young people, you have tremendous impact in your family. While the message this morning is geared primarily for parents, but in the next few weeks, it will be for parents and young people. I've asked a young person to share with us how you young people can impact your family. Let us ask Alita to come. Let's give him a warm welcome.
Since I was a young girl, I believe that time is the best way to show love. However, in my family, I did not feel that. My parents gave me everything I needed materially, but what I needed from them was their time and attention. At the age of 9, my world suddenly turned around the way I never expected. My mom's business had financial problems, and I learned that my dad had another family aside from us, and they hid this all from me. Being the youngest in the family and daddy's little girl, it was hard for me to accept all of it. I became bitter towards my dad and my mom and blamed them for everything that has happened in our family. As a result, I rebelled and became very disobedient. To feel the love and attention I was looking for, I tried to find it from other people and through other means. I became a bully at our school, picking on the younger ones just to please others. I tried to fill the emptiness and forget about the bitterness that I felt towards my parents. When I stepped into high school, I was a typical high school girl who dreamed to be popular, a varsity member, and a person others would be afraid to mess with. I was part of the popular barkada who bullied the lower batches whenever they didn't step aside when we are passing by. However, I was still incomplete. I still didn't feel the love that I was looking for. My barkada only loved the person they wanted me to be, not for who I really am. In 2007, I attended my first J-Zone camp entitled 24/7. Here I came to realize the perfect love Jesus showed to us. I then accepted Christ and got baptized. However, my main reason for getting baptized was because I wanted to fit in and be accepted. After the retreat, I still didn't take my relationship with Jesus seriously. I thought to myself, if my earthly parents can't love me, how much more our Heavenly Father? Since I was still searching for love and acceptance, I tried to fill the emptiness by being involved in a romantic relationship with a guy who does not love the Lord. At first, I felt loved and accepted. I kept it from my parents, knowing that they would disapprove of it. I stumbled and lost my track in my relationship with God and focused on the romantic relationship that I was in. After almost a year, I attended another J-Zone retreat entitled Eureka. Here, God opened my heart and I renewed my commitment to Him. This time, I did it because I learned that His love is all that I need. Part of my commitment was to let go of the relationship. It was not easy because He gave me the love that I never felt from my family. Another part of my commitment, which I believe was the most difficult, was to forgive my parents and also to ask forgiveness from them. It was hard for me because I was proud and I believed that my rebellion is their fault. But God reminded me in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 2, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Also, God reminded me that if I disobey or disrespect my parents, it is the same as disobeying and disrespecting Him. I asked God to help me humble myself and ask for forgiveness, and I did. Because of that, my dad, who did not go to CCF, is now regularly attending CCF, and he is active in his ministry. God worked miraculously in my dad's life that eventually it affected our entire family. Now my family and I regularly attend CCF together. Before, we would only bond as a family during birthdays. Now we have our family bonding every day. God's word is true that obeying and honoring our parents comes with a promise. I am now open with my parents and share things about school and my personal life. My dad and I still have misunderstandings, but I am learning to just apologize and submit to whatever my dad tells me to do. With my mom, I no longer blame her for the things that has happened in our family. I realize that it was God's plan to shake our family and use it to bring us closer to Him. My parents will never be perfect, but I no longer dwell on their imperfections. I also no longer listen to the devil's lies that my parents do not love me. I now know that they discipline and protect me because they love me. It is true that when you love God, everything else will follow and will fall on the right place. My name is Alitha Penales, an imperfect daughter rescued by my compassionate and gracious Father. To the one and only lover of my soul be the glory and honor forever. Thank you.
Praise God. Notice, because of her transformation, the father was affected, the family members were affected. My whole point is this, young people, don't think you are not important. The family should be our focus. You know why? Because you and I influence the family the greatest. Some of you are so busy ministering to other people. You are very nice to other people, but you neglect your own family. May I suggest, start loving your own family members as Jesus would have you love them. Begin at home. Because that is what God wants you to focus on. Why should you focus on family? It's called legacy. Let me share with you the meaning of legacy. It affects the future. In the case of Eli, Eli did not realize the cost of disobeying God. Do you realize the entire privilege of becoming a priest for God was totally removed from Eli? There are consequences. People used to tell me, you know, Peter, to follow God is hard. It's very costly. You know what I tell people? Yes, it may be hard, but not to follow the Lord is costlier. Not to follow the Lord will even mean you don't even know what you are losing. Let's look at the Jukes family. You have two families, the Jukes and the Edwards family. Both grew up in New York City. The only difference is the Duke family are not godly. They don't have Bible studies. They don't believe in worship. They don't believe in the things of God. Let's see what happened to them. All right? Duke family. They traced 1,200 descendants. And this is what they discovered. 400 are physically self-wreck. Drugs, drunkenness, smoking, etc. 310 professional paupers. 130 convicted criminals, 60 habitual thieves, 7 murderers, 20 learned a trade, half of them because of prison discipline. And then you have the Jonathan Edwards family. Now the Jonathan Edwards family, you have to understand the father was a minister. The great-grandfather was a minister. This is a family line of godly people. Now you want to know what happened to the children of Jonathan Edwards? You see, the father of Jonathan Edwards, the family taught him the importance of following the Lord. This is what happened. 400 descendants traced, 13 college presidents, 100 lawyers, 30 judges, 100 pastors, Bible teachers, missionaries, 60 physicians, 80 elected to public office, 3 senators, 1 vice president, 60 prominent authors, 70 army, navy officers. The legacy of Jonathan Edwards is amazing. Up to this day, you can see his children, the offspring. What's my point? Never say you are just a mother. Never say, well, my kids, I'm busy out here. Never, never, ever neglect your family because they are your responsibilities. Let's close with this verse, everybody. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you. Underline that in your Bible so that you can obey them. Am I correct? So that, verse 2, so that you and your son and your grandson may keep all of his statutes. For what purpose? So that you may enjoy long life. Until your children embrace that God is good, that obeying God is blessing, they will not internalize love for God. You need to internalize this. Do you believe following God is the pathway to blessing? Yes or no? Then read the next verse. What does it say? Oh Israel, how do you do this? How do you focus on the family? You should listen. Be careful to do it. In other words, it's all about obedience. So that, let's read that. So that it may be what? Well with you. So that it will what? You may multiply greatly as the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, promised you in the land flowing with milk and honey. Israel, O Israel, everybody read this now. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. It begins with you. Do you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? That is the formula, the principle of raising up godly children. Because the next verse tells you, these words I'm commanding you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them. Now, before I teach you how to teach them in the coming weeks, let's go back. You shall love the Lord your God first, what? With all your heart, soul, and mind. Now, listen to me. I want you to do something. I want all fathers to please stand up. All fathers, stand up. All fathers. Since the responsibility is with fathers. Now, I will ask mothers to stand up also. Okay, mothers, stand up also. Mothers. Mothers. Fathers and mothers. Step number one, God says, okay, what are you supposed to do? Focus on the family. Am I correct? Be intentional. Now, God is saying, to begin, you must love God personally. May I suggest today, you ask your children this question. What am I passionate about? You ask your kids. You ask your children, what am I passionate about? Ask your children, can you tell what daddy is passionate about? What do I get excited about? Ask them. Then wait for their answer. If their answer is not the way you like it, don't get angry. That is their perception. But if their answer is, daddy, your number one passion is God, praise God. But if their answer is something else, watch out. Because passion, values are caught, not taught. Do you mind remaining standing? Because I want to tell you a story. Fathers of and mothers of George McCloskey. How many of you have heard of George McCloskey? You know why you do not know? I'll tell you why. Because he is not as famous as his children. George McCloskey was a man of God. He decided to pray for his children 1 hour a day. And that's what I like to do, 1 hour a day. Pray for your children. Now, I'm not saying 1 hour, but begin to pray for your children. Then his daughters got married to pastors. He began to pray for the in-laws. He began to pray for the children's children. Now, this George McCloskey had a son. His name was James Sr. James was so popular. To invite him to speak in your church, you have to wait for 4 years. That's how popular he was. George McCloskey prayed for his son, James Sr., and he prayed for James Sr.'s son, James Jr. One day, James Sr. received a phone call from the wife. Honey, I need you. What's the problem? Our 16-year-old son is beginning to rebel against my authority. You know what the father did? He canceled all of his meeting that afternoon. I'm going home. He went home immediately. Without realizing, James Jr. was listening in the next room to their discussion. A few days later, there was a sign for sale. James Sr. decided to sell his house. He decided to move the entire family to a rural community. He wanted to mentor his son, called James Jr. He was willing to do everything to assume that responsibility for my son. Now, who is this son of his? Well, I will show you the picture, and you will all know. The result is this son became Dr. James Dobson Jr., the founder of Focus for Family. This is one of the most effective ministry in America, radio program about family. You have heard of James Dobson? He became a man of God because many years ago, his father was willing to let go of ministry, to let go of activities for the sake of assuming that responsibility I am responsible to disciple my own children. Fathers, until you understand your calling, your children will not become all that God wants them to be. Therefore, parents, are you listening to me now? I suggest you begin praying. And I suggest you begin thinking how to have family devotion every week. I am going to give you materials, fathers, to have a family devotion every week. I want to teach you. So we will teach you in the coming weeks. But you begin to now pray, and above all, ask yourself, what kind of example am I giving to my children? Fathers, are you listening to me? Mothers, are you listening to me? What kind of examples do you give to your children so that they will fall in love with Jesus? If they don't fall in love with Jesus, listen to me. All the amount of money you are thinking of passing on to them, the houses, the lots, your business, will be meaningless. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and loses his own family? Will you see your children in heaven? Can you tell me in your heart that you are sure all your children will go to heaven? Perhaps you are not even sure yourself. You're just here. Perhaps, I do not know, I'm not judging you. But I'm saying, focus on the family by first loving the Lord. You got to love the Lord yourself. If you are not serious about these messages, friend, I cannot decide for you. But I'm burdened for your family. I'm burdened for your children's children. I'm burdened for your legacy. The choice is yours. Humble yourself and say, Lord, let me practice Christianity at home. Me first. How you treat your wife, how you treat your husband, how you treat others, how you run your business, your kids are watching you. Let's pray. Everybody, let's all stand up and pray. Everybody. Will you humble yourself? If you have never invited Jesus as your Lord and Savior, perhaps you need to do it right now. You're not even sure that Jesus is your Savior. You may know about Jesus, but you don't know the Lord. Why don't you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I'm not sure if I really know you. I'm not even sure if you will recognize me. I therefore humble myself. Lord, you promise to those who are humble, you'll give them grace. I now humble myself before you, Lord Jesus. I want to change. Come into my life. Come into my family. Be the center of our family. Help me. Give me wisdom. How to be a better father. How to be a better mother. Lord Jesus, I pray for all of us. I pray for teenagers today. That they will learn to honor, respect their parents. Because you have promised them. They will be blessed. Help all of us to follow biblical principles. That we can bring honor and glory to your name. Let our family be so unique that our friends will know that the Lord is our master by watching our families. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Thank you.